So,
let us start today on Daf Mem Tet with the very top of the Daf.
Meisvei.
Zar on Vaonen Shikur Ba'amun Be'Kabbalah Ba'alacha Be'Zrika Pasul. V'chein Yoshev V'chein Smol Pasul. Now we know that Reb Sheish has said before that Holacha B'Yad Smol is kosher. And yet here it says Beferish that a Zar, a non-Kohen, an Onen, someone who had a mate before the Kvura from his family, Shikor, someone who had a revius of wine to drink, Ba'amun, if they did either Kabbalah Holacha or Zrika, they would be Pasul. And that includes a yoshev and small. Either b'kabbalah b'alacha b'zrika. Here it says b'feirish that holacha is possible b'small. So Reb Sheshes, who said before holacha b'yad small is kosher, obviously is the yufta. Ask the Gemara, but how is this possible? Reb Sheshes, who da usva? Reb Sheshes earlier was the person who had asked from this very brisa against Reb Chisda. And how could he possibly have made such a mistake as to say that holacha b'small is kosher when he himself had used this brisa before? The Amorah Reb Sheshes la Amore, because Reb Sheshes said to the Amora of Reb Chisda, the Reb Chisda, "Boy, me name Reb Chisda. Ask please Reb Chisda's response to this. Holacha bizar mahu. What would be the din of holacha bizar? Is holacha also possible bizar or not?" Amar Lein, to which Reb Chisda answered, "Kshera. It's kosher, and I'll bring a raya from a pasuk. Mikra misayeni, because it says vayishchatu a pesach v'yizruku hakohanim et adam miyadam. It says that they shechted the pesach and then kohen." Did the Zrika by taking the dam from their hands, meaning from the hands of the Shochim, who here are not Kohanim, so that means that it's only at that point that the Kohen takes over, Zrika, v'halaviyim mafshitim. So you see that the Zar did the Holacha, brought the dam to the Kohen. This is my riot. To which Reb Sheshes responded to Reb Chisda, or to Reb Chisda Svora, from this brisa. Zar v'onein shikur ba'mum kabbalah ba'lacha b'zricha posel, v'chein yoshev v'chein smol posel. So how could you say that a czar is kosher? And so Reb Sheshes knows the brisa that says that the czar is in kosher, and then what? And then he says that small it is kosher. If it says beferish and shmol is possible, answers the Gemara, well, obviously, batar de shema'a. It's only after they had used this very brisa, we've got the order all wrong. They had used this brisa, we just did, to show that Reb Sheshes was wrong, and that halacha b'smol is possible. Once he heard it, then of course, he learned from it also that halacha b'czar is possible. In which case, the Reisvei turned around now and used it against Reb Chisda to show that halacha b'zar is possible. But Reb Chisda krokom, how could Reb Chisda be wrong if the pasuk actually did say precisely what it was that he was saying in Divrei Hayomim? Says the Gemara, the meaning of the pasuk is the avud maase itztaba. Doesn't mean that the czar over here, the people who had done the shechita, were the ones who would actually walk with the dam to the mizbeach, which point the kohen would take the dam and would do the zrika. It means that they acted basically as an itztaba. In other words, they held the blood until the kohen would take the blood from them. But the holacha itself was not done by the zarin. Boy Rafa, what about chafina? Chafan chaveiro. Let's say another Kohen went ahead and did the chafina of the Kteres, and then he takes a Kteret from his chafnai, and he puts it into the chofnav of the Kohen who's going to bring the Kteres. Do we need melo chofnav ba'inan? Is the whole idea over here that there should be contained in his arms melo chofnav va'ika that we have? Or do we need velakach melo chofnav? That he has to do the lakicha himself of melo chofnav, and then vehevi ba'inan, and that haleka that we don't have, because he never did the lakicha. Take another question regarding chafina. Boy, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, chafan v'meitz. Suppose Kohen Gadol does the chafina, and he dies. Can the another Kohen, Maush Yikaneis Acher, can another Kohen who takes place, go ahead and take the chafina that the first Kohen had already put inside the cup, and does he need not to do his own chafina? So, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said to his Talmid, Borei, take a look at the original Dor, who asked this question, was brilliant the way Sheilat HaRishon. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, because basically he was before me, at least this, we're going to ask about this in a moment, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and I was also quite unsure, as Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is, as to what the halacha would be about this. Well, are you saying that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is older? The name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Kashish, is he older than Rabbi Chanina? That he's calling, Rabbi Chanina is referring to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi as the Sheilat Rishonim. In other words, basically, Rabbi Hanina is saying, look, the recent Abaye of Rav Pop about Chafinas Chavero is really the equivalent of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was in an earlier generation, and they were zeicha to ask the same type of question as to whether you need another Chafina that the earlier Dor was asking. Now, of course, there is a difference between these two sfeikas, because in Rav Papa, the Chafina wasn't done by a Kohen Gadol. But, I mean, on the other hand, it's the Maloch of Nav, of the Kohen, who is being Machnes Bifnim in the end. Ashenken Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's case is that it was the Chafina of a Kohen Gadol, but it was not Maloch of Nav of the Kohen that took it from the other Kohen. The first Kohen was the one who put it into the Kaf, Ashenken and the other Safik, was the Kohen who's actually bringing it that puts it into the Kaf. So, but nonetheless, it's Me'ein, that question, right? But first we have to establish why Rabbi Hanina would have called Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi the previous generation. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Li Hitir Rabbi Hanina, Lishtot Shechlaim B'Shabbos. Apparently Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had a Shaila, which he has Rabbi Hanina, so certainly he couldn't be the earlier Dor. And since he says Beferish, Rabbi Hanina, this was the one who was Matir me to drink the juice of Shechlaim on Shabbos, so apparently it was Rabbi Hanina who was considered to be the elder. So, first of all, before we get to answering that question, we want to understand exactly what he was talking about when he said Lishtot Shechlaim. Lishtot? What is the question about drinking Shechlaim? Pshita, Tetzan, Kol Ochlin Ochel Adam, L'Refu'a, V'Chol HaMashkin Shota. Why would there be a problem of Shabbos if you're allowed to eat a normal food for Refu'a and a normal drink for Refu'a, even though your intent is for Refu'a, but if it's a normal food, so then it makes no difference if you eat and drink a normal food, even when your intent is used as a medication. We never made a gzera against such a thing. What exactly was the problem of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi? Ella, his problem was not the religion, it was not the drink of the Jews, but rather it was talking about the shchok that he was allowed to crush the shachalayim and then drink the juice. L'shtot shachalayim b'shabbat. Ask the Gemara, well, how would Rabbi Hanina be matter that? I mean, look, idik a sakanta. I mean, if he was in a sakona, obviously the Mishra Shorim. I mean, he had to ask a shayla whether you're allowed to crush things and make juice on Shabbos if somebody's in a sakana sefashas. V'idalek a sakanta, and if indeed there was no sakana, so then it clearly it would be usher to do such a thing. Well, right, kafim l'chal Shabbos diraisa meiser asir. Answers the Gemara, li'elo amdika sakanta, it's talking about that indeed there was a sakana. And why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked as to whether he's allowed to drink it for refuah, achikami b'ayim. Mimase, what he was asking was, is meishachlayim indeed a refuah, in which case it was kedai, the nechla layo shabbata, that it was kedai to be mechal Shabbos, or olomase, or is it just sort of like a folk remedy that isn't really a refuah? And therefore, why should be mechal Shabbos? V'lo nechla layo shabbata. But I was not asking him halacha as much as I was asking him the practicalities about whether this is a refuah for which halacha would follow by itself. So why the heck would Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi ask Rabbi Hanina? I mean, we're not talking about should go to a doctor. I mean, what does that have to do with the halacha? He didn't need a rabbi. And says the Gemara, Eino Chinami. He asked Rabbi Hanina because Rabbi Hanina indeed was a doctor. Mishum the Baki b'Refuot. Since Rabbi Hanina had a great bekiyut in various refuot, the Rabbi Hanina me'olam lo shalani adam amakat pirda levana v'chaya. I never had been asked by anyone who had been hurt or hit by a white pirda. Oh, maybe this is a zebra, which indeed dislodges little pieces and which go into the wound and have him live. At least that's what we think it means now. But, I mean, obviously that means Rabbi Hanina was consulted by people for wounds. And so if that's the case, it's clear that he was a doctor who did consulting. Ask him, what do you mean you never saw anyone recover from such a wound and he died? Because, you know, we see many people get these kind of wounds and they live. No. He didn't say the person wouldn't live. He said, v'chayita, that the maka, meaning the wound itself, should be healed completely. That was never something that he had seen. But we do have seen people that have been hit by white mules and it has gotten better. And says the Gemara, we're not talking about regular white mules. Talking about the muskan inu v'chivan reish karayu. Talking about where the mule itself is in fact a brownish color and the feet themselves are white. And over there, is it like it's like the zebra, where there's little pieces that are ejected into the wound, and they keep, over a course of years, they keep working themselves out of the wound, which causes infection all the time. So that's what he was saying. I never saw such a maka ever have a refuah. But in any event, how however we understand it, that he was asking him as a doctor, or he was asking him as a Rebbe, or, but Lamaisa, clearly he's addressing him as Rabbi Hanina, and it seems a little bit silly for two contemporaries in which one of them addresses what you're claiming is the younger as Rabbi, that Rabbi Hanina should then turn around and refer to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and should call him the previous generations. I mean, what's the meaning of that? So, Rabbi Hanina Kashish, I mean, since Rabbi Hanina was addressed by him over here as Rabbi, the mashmaut is that Rabbi Hanina is the earlier generation, not Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. You're right. What he meant to say to his Talmidim, what Rabbi Hanina was saying is that she'elatan is ke'she'ela shel harishonim, meaning this question that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is asking is similar to the she'ela of the earlier dorot of which I am a member. Because I also had this she'ela, is what he was saying. And take a look at this, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself, also the youngster, he also asked the same question that has been bothering me for years. Is that true, though? Mi'am Rabbi Hanina, was Rabbi Hanina himself indeed bothered by the question of what the din would be if someone else would come in carrying the chafina of another kohen, the first kohen who had died, who lives out. The Omer Rabbi Hanina, didn't Rabbi Hanina darshan the pasuk of Bezos, Yavo Aaron ala kodesh bepar ben bakar? So he said, what's the meaning bepar? Bepar means the lo bedamo shapar, meaning that he has to bring in that par, meaning the blood of his own par, and that's what he has come into the kodeshim with, kodesh kodeshim, but not bidomo shapar, not just carrying the dam of a par that had been shechted by another kohen who can no longer do the avoda. And in fact, if the kohen gadol did the shrita kabbalah and then died, then the one who would come and take his place, he would have to go and start all over again. He would have to bring another par. You can't simply bring in the dam of shapar. And furthermore, the Amar Rabbi Hanina kitoret shechafana kodem shchitat apar lo asa velakum. Furthermore, another thing that he said was that you always need to do the chafinas haketores after the shechita of the par, and only afterwards, which means that you have to first bring the par. So if that's the case, if you did it beforehand, if you did the ketoret kodem shechitat par, it would be possible. So then, in the case that we were just misupik about, when somebody did the chafina and then died, what good is the whole thing going to do? Before you went ahead and brought this chafina, you're going to have to first shech the par in order that par should be yours, correct? So if that's the case, if the par that you now have is not your par, then the chafina can't be used, because then it would be the chafina before the shechita. In which case, how could Rabbi Hanina have any suffix? This is the Gemara. What Rabbi Hanina was saying was not that he was misupak, but milikami boilei. Since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had this question, it's clear that when it comes to the case of chafina where you die, apparently he holds with lauda kasavar, and when it comes to the par, he must have held that when it comes to the dam, a par would be okay to bring in the dam of the par that another kohen who had died had done the shechita in the kabbalah, and he does not have to do another shechita, because if he held he does have to do another shechita, then of course you would have to do another chafina, and there would have been no question. Yeah, and lemaida sfirle, and according to what he hold, namely that dam a par is sufficient. So then sheila toki sheila atarishoni. Then the question that he asked indeed would be equivalent to those who are like my generation who had this question, not I myself who don't have it, but would be similar to those who argue on me, and they said bepar afilu v'damo shopar. And that way they entered the phrase, so to speak, in the issues that I myself had been involved in by having determined what their halacha was v'gabe the damo shopar and accepting it in disagreement with me. They end up asking a question that is raised actually by contemporaries of me, would be fellow kandama shopar. In any event, what's the bottom line? My havial, I mean, what's the halacha? We had a suffix about what the din is of the chafina of another kohen who dies. Can you or can you not use it? Omer of Papa, I chofein, chozer v'chofein. If the general question is actually determined to be, when it comes to the shayla of doing a chafina, a second chafina, after the chafina that was done. In other words, you need to do perhaps a second chafina inside. So then the answer is clear, because chaveiro nichnas bechafinato, don mekayim chafina. There should be no problem in another kohen taking the place of that kohen, because anyway, the kohen, the second kohen, is going to bring in the kaf that contains the original chafina, is going to be redoing brewing chafina inside. On the other hand, if the solution overall to the question of how one does the chafina is e ein chofein chozer b'chofein, only then tivoyalach, then you can have the question. But you have to realize that we are going to be dealing with a more fundamental issue as to whether indeed inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is it necessary to redo the chafina anyway. If you've determined, as we'll see soon, if you've determined that you need to do the chafina anyway, so then indeed there's nothing much to be troubled about. You're going to do the chafina anyway, so then go right ahead and take the chafina that was done by another kohen, because it really wouldn't matter one way or the other. So all that he's accomplishing right now, Rav Papa, is to make the suffix clearer to us. The only time that we have this problem is if we're going to determine that no second chafina takes place with my belief. Says Rav Unna Bar Rav Yehoshua L'Rav Papa, I disagree with you completely. I'd say exactly the opposite. Adrava, if you hold that you have to be chofein, the chozer v'chofein, then on the contrary, for sure you cannot bring in the chafina of another person, because yefshar shelo yechzar v'shelo yotir. Don't you understand that the whole point is that the other person's chafina that has been put into the kaf is certainly not going to precisely fit the re-chafina, and the whole point of the re-chafina is to construct the chafina that was. So I bring it in with a kaf, put it back into my melochof nav. There's no way that I could put someone else's melochof nav into my melochof nav, sir, because yefshar shelo yechasar v'lo yotir. I mean, how's it going to be exactly the same? It's going to be slightly larger, slightly smaller, right? So, I mean, nobody's hand is precisely the hand of somebody else. The ein chofein v'chozer v'chol. On the other hand, if there's no chiyuv to be chofein, again, then you can have your suffix, and you can wonder what the din would be. But certainly, if I'm going to redo the chafina inside, how can I be yotze with a chafina that's not going to fit into melochof nav? It has to be that exact shear of melochof nav, and it won't be. Fine. Now, where is, now that you're both talking about, both Rav Papa and Rav Unna Bar Rav Yehoshua are both talking about something that we haven't really even heard about before. What is that thing? Diboilu. There is, in fact, an overall question. Chofein, v'chozer v'chofein olo. Is there a chiyuv when you go in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do a chafina after you've already put the original chafina into the kaf? Because after all, the simple meaning of the pasuk, this is the way the Rosh explains it, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that you need to bring the kaf, the ktoret, in your hand, the lochof nav, and not in a kaf. So we don't do that because there's no possible way to do that. Because how can the same kohen bring the machata and also have both of his hands clamped together holding melochof nav? But what you could do is you could redo the chafina inside, in which case you would be mekayim the main meaning of the pasuk, which is that you're supposed to take melochof nav and bring it inside. So I do that. I now have melochof nav reconstituted inside. So do I need to do that or not? Tashma. Let us bring a raya from the following. It says that in the Mishnah that he's chofen melochof nav, puts it into the kaf, and it says hagadol lefi gadlo, hakatan lefi katano, v'kachay tamidata. Now this word v'kachay tamidata means what? I mean, my love, I assume what the Mishnah is trying to teach me is that kishem shemidata mi b'chutz, kachay tamidata mi b'fnim. In other words, that kachay tamidata, whatever defined melochof nav outside, where before you went in with the machta and with the kaf, so that is the same kachay midata. That's the same melochof nav that is defined inside, and then mele, you're going to have to redo it. So in other words, the Mishnah is essentially telling you that you must be chofein v'chozer v'chofein. Otherwise, what is the meaning of these cryptic words, v'kachoyta midata, when you didn't tell me any midah? Says the Gemara, no. Lo, Dioma, maybe. What the point was, is, on the contrary, that kachayta midata means imratza lasod mida. Let's say a kohen wanted to make a kli for melochof nav. He could measure and make an exact kli, and aisa, indeed, that he could do. Inami, or maybe it's telling you shalo yechzar v'shalo yotir. Maybe kachayta midata simply means you have to be very careful, not take the slightest amount less, and the slightest amount more. But that's also a possibility. So you can't prove absolutely from here what the din would be. Tashma. Okay. Let's take a look in the Brice. Brice expands. Now, there's a chafina that is done inside. The Ketzad Huose. How does he do now when he gets inside? Ochezet ha-bazach v'roshes bo'otav yeshom rim b'shinav. So now, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to take the ketoret that's inside of the bazach back into chofnav. How does he manage this? He holds the top of the bazach Pesach with the tips of his fingers after he's already set down the machane, and now the handle of that bazach is facing his own arms. At that point, he's ochez the bazach barosh etzbotav, or some say even b'shinav. He uses his teeth holding the handle of the kaf between his two arms. Umaale begudalo, he uses his thumbs, his two thumbs. He now lifts the kaf to look so that it gradually goes higher and higher. Ad shemagat levein atzila yadav, until he's already lifted the top of the kaf by sliding it upward so that it should be at the level of his elbow, which means now that the other side, that the mouth of the bazak itself, is now at the same height as his palms. V'chozeru machzira, he now bends it a little bit forward so that the ketoret inside of the bazak falls l'tochofna. V'tzovra, and he then takes the ketoret that is in melochofna and he sprinkles it in a pile over the coals k'day she'eh ashana she'elavo, in order that it should gradually burn and not burn all at once, although others say v'yesh armushim v'fazra, on the contrary, that he spreads it and doesn't put a pile on, k'day she'eh ashana me'meheret lavo, in order that the smoke should come rapidly, so that the svora of doing that would be, I mean, it's according to the Achronim, there's a number of different svoras. One svora to say that we would want it to take time is because since the coin has to be there until the smoke fills the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so therefore it makes sense that that should be something that he should have an opportunity to be there and gradually till it fills, and that's when he has his kavonas and so on. Whereas the other svora would be that on the contrary, we want as much possible to get him out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim where he doesn't really belong, and we don't want people terrified that he dropped dead in there. We'll see, everybody was waiting, and they were terrified that maybe some terrible tragedy had happened when he went inside. Maybe he did it wrong. Maybe it was a tzeduki. He wasn't zeicha. He got killed with the mark of the eagle between his shoulder blades. So we don't want him to be there. Again, you could see that there's various stadim here. It's not all one particular swara. But the yesham rim shemefazra kadesh sheyashana me'meret lavo, and continues the brisa that the zoi avodah kashash b'migdash. This is like very, very difficult to do, because as you can see, it's easy to lose control of the kaf and to not be able to get it completely emptied, and it has to be melochofnav, it has to be exactly, they couldn't be less, it can't be more, and how are you going to see to it? Nothing spills, but it goes directly back, and it took a heck of a lot of practice. In any event, he asks the Gemara, what are you telling me? This is the only thing that had that level of difficulty? That Zoe of Atulo, there was nothing else that was difficult? Well, what about Malika? We know that Malika was extremely difficult, the way that you had to hold the bird's neck between your fingers in such a way that you could do the Malika with your thumb on that same neck and that same hand. And furthermore, there was Kamitza, where over there it says Beverish, in both of those cases, it says both of these were very difficult. But again, the Kamitza had to be extremely exact. You couldn't get any of the Mincha stuck between your fingers or falling out in the hole underneath between your pinky and your last finger. And this was extremely difficult to do. So let's change that to read Ela Zoe Avodah Kasha Mi Avodot Kashot Shebemikdash. What it's trying to say is that this is one of the more difficult things of the set of difficult things to do in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, but in any event, Shema Amina, well, what was our Raya? We're looking for a Raya about whether you need to Chafina. The whole description of this bright is a very, very complex Chafina. It's pretty clear that we're not making up this very difficult Aveda that never took place. Obviously it took place. So this Chafina is a clear raya that there needs to be a second Chafina. As far as the application of that to our Abaya, that was a machlokas Rabbeinu and Rapapa, as to whether that means that Vada, you cannot use another Kohen's Chafina, or whether it means Adarabba, that you definitely could use another Kohen's Chafina because you're going to be redoing it. Let's say that the Kohen Gadol goes ahead, Shech his bar and dies. Her question is, and of course we've already touched upon this before, but as we mentioned, as Rukhanina mentioned, this was really a question in his time. Not everyone agreed with him. Maoshi Kanesacher, can the Skan who takes his place, can he take the dam of the first coming? Mi Amrinan Bepara filo Bedam Hoshopar, Odomo Bepar Velo Bedam Hoshopar. So can he walk in using the other dam? The par doesn't necessarily mean it has to be his par. I mean, even the dam of the par is all that's meant. Or does it mean? No, he has to go in with the par itself, and he'd have to shekel on the par, and it has to be his own personal par, the lobe d'amashopar. In which case, he would now have to start over again and shekel another par. And here again, I mean, we sort of jumped ahead and saw the end of this when we got to the Torah, because basically the two are interrelated. So Rabbi Chanina, it means he has to shech again. He can't go in there using the dam of another coin's part. Whereas according to Rish Lakish, as long as this coin is going to be carrying the dam of a par that was of Aaron, it's the Aaron at the time, so then he can go in even with Dama Shopar. Rabbi Ami Omer, the par of Lo B'Dama Shopar. There were other Amoraim that argued the same argument. Here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Ami holds Zafka par, like Rabbi Chanina, Lo B'Dama Shopar, and Rabbi Yitzchak holds the par of Lo B'Dama Shopar. Now Rabbi Ami asked to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, and from the din, now we need to know a little bit of background over here. You need to be, as those of you who learn Pesachim will recall, you need to be a manui on a korban to eat the korban Pesach. You can't just come in and be invited at the time of the Seder. So it says there in Pesachim that nimnin u'moshkin yadayim mimenu achi shachet. The time for registration, being a registered member of a chabura of a korban Pesach, you can either register or you can withdraw your registration in order to go to another korban Pesach until the point that the korban is actually shechted. Now, the thing is like this. V'imit, if you're going to tell me that papar is a fiul b'damo shopar, then by the same token, when we use in the pasuk the word seh, and that of course was the tachosu al haseh, that's where we have the whole din of needing to be registered to be in the mikseh of the seh. If you're going to tell me that after shchita a par is still called a par, so the dama par is a par, so then why can't we say the same thing about a seh? And a seh remains a seh, even though it was shechted, I should still be able to register even after shchita ad she is rok, until the dam was sprinkled over in the mizbeach, which of course is the end of the time that the korban has already achieved what it was setting out to achieve. I understand that after that, I certainly cannot be manui because the avodah of the seh is finished. But why would you get the idea that just because the chosu al haseh, that must mean before it was shechted, if it remains a seh even if it's after it shechted, just like a par remains a par even after it shechted? So it should be kosher all the way until the point of zrika. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak's approach, who says par afiyu damash par, lechora is clearly wrong from the dinner korban pesach. Answers the Gemara, shine hatam tichtiv mihiyot miseh. It's not simply the word of seh that we're darshaning, but rather what we're darshaning is b'michsat nefasha. We said, in the beginning of the pasuk, before we said b'michsat nefasha, tochosu ala seh, the pasuk begins with v'im yimata bayit mihiyot miseh. Then, v'lakachu v'shcheinu akorov v'obito b'michsat nefasha, ish l'fiyachlo tochosu ala seh. But the word mihiyot, that word avaya, always is a sense of its existential presence. In which case, we dash it over here, the chiyut of the seh, mechiyutei de seh. So in other words, it means as long as that seh is a living, breathing seh, then you can have the chosu ala seh. But once it was shachut, then it's not considered to be chiyuto de seh, maybe called a seh, but it's not mihiyot mi seh. Mashen came by the Kohen Gadol, where the lashon of the par never doesn't mention the chiyus of the par, it simply says, par ben bakar. So inachinami, a par of a Kohen Gadol is a par, even though it was already shechted. I have its dam here, I'm bringing in the dam of the par, in which case the other Kohen can certainly go ahead, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim using the dam of the par of the original Kohen. Masiv Mar Zutra, another question against Rabbi Yitzchak's approach that a par is even the dam of a par, not the actual par, is from the following Mishnah that occurs in Bechorot. Ein Podin, you cannot do the pidyon here, it's referring to pidyon of a Petach Hamor. You cannot go ahead and use an Egel or a Chaya or Lobeseh Shchuta. You couldn't use a set. The main thing is a set. You can't use a set that's a shchuta, the lobe treifa, meaning a set that's a treifa, the lobe kilayim, nor a set that comes from a union of a goat and a sheep. Both of them have sets, but that's not the set that you can use. And you need to have a set, pure set of one, of a goat or a sheep. But you can't have a goat sheep set. The lobe choy, you cannot have a choy, which is the offspring of a deer with a goat. And we'll see, there are other approaches as to what a koi is, but we can use Rashi's approach here. We'll see later on in the Gemara that there's other types of understandings of koi. I love a set. You've got to use a straight out set, either complete sheep on both sides or complete goat on both sides, and you can't use a set shchuta. So you see from there that the word set does not include a set shchuta. And there it doesn't say mihiyot or anything like it. It talks about tifte beset, mimlo tifte barafto. By the way, all of these things that you cannot use is only if you're trying to use them as the seh. If you're trying to use them simply as monetary value of these things, they're no different than anything else has monetary value. If you're always able to be poda, the only poda beseh is where you don't want to be poda the the value of the chamor, you want to just use asev, any value, you can't use these things. But in any event, you do see clearly from here that the meaning of the word seh, even though it doesn't seem yot miseh, meaning of the word seh is not the mushal seh, it's not a shechet seh, it's dafka a living seh. And it is the Gemara, shayne atan, the Alef seh semi pesah. Actually, we learn from Korban Pesach, where over there it does say miyot miseh, we learn out the word seh, tivde beseh, from miyot miseh. And therefore, just like by Korban Pesach, it doesn't help to be mona, you were somebody on a Korban Pesach after Shechita, because it's not called miyot miseh. So too, it doesn't help to use a seh shchuta to tivde beseh. But says the Gemara, but wait, if that's really true, because the Gzeres Shavah that allows us to use the word seh and Pesach to teach us what the dinim is of the seh of pidyon peter chamor, then why don't we go all the way? I mean, we can't simply say we'll learn what we like or what's convenient out of Gzeres Shavah. You've got to learn the whole deal or nothing. In which case, we should say imala alan, just like by a korban pesach, the meaning of the seh over there is dafka zacharas we males. It says perish there, and it has to be a tam, can't have any mumim on it, no blemishes. Uven shanat has to be within its first year. So why don't we say the same thing by Petr Hamor Afkan? It should have to be a Zachar and a Tam and a Ben Shana. No, that's not a problem. Talmud Lomar Tifdeh. Therefore, it says called Petr Hamor Tifdeh Beseh. And again, it repeats Tifdeh. It says Imlo Tifdeh Va'arafto. So the double meaning of the word Tifdeh. It says Tifdeh Imlo Va'arafto. So Tifdeh Tifdeh is a Ribui Riba. To tell me even a Nekeva, even a Balmum, even if it's older than a Ben Shana. I understand, says the Gemara, if that's the case, then go all the way on the Tifdeh Tifdeh. I mean, say Tifteh Tifdeh Riba. So if you look Kulanam, then say even if it's a Shchuta. How do you know to tell me that it can't be a Shchuta? Well, because in Cain, Seh my Anilai. Then what would be the point of learning the Gzeres Shavah from a Korban Pesach? I mean, it's got to be telling me something. Therefore, it must be telling me Dafka Seh and not a Seh Shchuta. And so on. That is asks the Gemara, Eisvei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafkul Rav Ami. I can ask you, Rav Ami will hold that the Kohen does have to bring another part. That he cannot use the damo shapar. How about the fact that it says vodsi et kol haparah michutzah machanah makom tohor? So there, it's talking, of course, not about Yom Kippur. It's talking about the par of what we called before the par kohen mashiach we saw earlier, which is a par as a chatas that is brought by a kohen who has been mashuach with the shem lamishka, who made a mistaken psak taut in hora'ah, acted out on that psak and ended up doing something which was a chiyuv karet, thinking that it was mutter. So it says over there, it's referring to obviously after you shechted it, it says bring the whole par out. So, I mean, obviously that means that a par after Shechita is still called a par, and if that's the case, then clearly I am right, says Rabbi. I mean, Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that the Kohen can take the damash apar, even though the par is dead, it's still called a par. So how do you explain the use of that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, that just means shiotziyat kulot. That doesn't mean it's called a par. It just means whatever is left of the par has to be removed. Call a par, all that which once was the par. I mean, now it has a din of a living par. Okay, but continues the Gemara to ask, by Yom Kippur it says, the eight par ha-chatat, et seir ha-chatat. And the continuation of Pesach makes it very clear we're talking about after Shechita. Asher uvat amam lechaper ba-kodesh yotzion michutz ha-machanem. Obviously, we've already taken the dam, brought it in, so they are good and dead. V'sarfu be'eshet orotam, etc. So clearly it's after matan dam. Nonetheless, we're calling it the par ha-chatat. Omer papa. That just means to say be'or u'basar v'feresh. It's talking about the body of the par. There's no question that the skin of the par, the flesh of the par, the stomach contents of the par, all of that, everybody agrees that we still refer to those things as a par. And of course, that's going to explain the Gemara's previous question as well, now that we understand that. And that's for sure. Kipligi, the only question is the dam itself, not whether the par is so-called a par, the recognizable elements of it. The question is when it comes to dam. Dam, after all, I mean, is not something that is uniquely part of this par, and we know dam is something that is interchangeable. So the question is whether dam is called a par. So marsava dam yikre par, and therefore you do not, as Rabbi Yitzchak swore, you do not need to shech another par. Marsava is rabamiyot dam lo yikre par. That blood is not a par, but certainly par is par. I mean, all the parts of a par is a par. Om ravashi mistavik man yom dam yikre par. I think it's reasonable to say, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that dam is yikre par, like Rishwak. Why? You don't need another to go ahead and shech another one. Because I'll tell you you why I think it's logical. Because, look, it says, Bizot yavo Aaron el HaKodesh bepar ben bakar. So tell me what that means. Aaron should come into the Kodesh HaKodeshim with a par. Meaning what? Meaning grab it by its horns and drag it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Is that what the bus means? Oh, to bekar nemayale. What is he? He's bringing the par with its horns into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The meaning of bepar ben bakar, for God's sake, means with the dam of the par. So Ella, it's clear that the dam is called the par. Otherwise, though, the whole opening pasuk to the whole sugya of Yom Kippur makes absolutely no sense. That's a darn good shot. That's a raya. Well, what are you going to do with that? The Ida? Those who hold that dam is not called a par. How do they understand the meaning of Izot Yavorana Karish Bapar Ben Bakar? Obviously, he doesn't literally walk with a par. He will explain it as meaning Bama Hushar Aaron of Ola Kodesh. They're just saying, Bizot Yavor Aaron of Ola Kodesh. What enables Aaron to come into the Kodesh? That makes it mutter for him to come to the Kodesh. But par ben bakar l'chatat, if he brings his par, and he does the shechita, and he does the avodah, and so on and so forth of this par, then he could come. It doesn't mean that that he should bring the par ben bakar into the Kodesh, in which case, obviously, it would have to mean the dam. It means he should bring himself into the Kodesh. How does he bring himself into the Kodesh? By having brought a par ben bakar. That's the meaning. See you tomorrow morning.